Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. And here it is one more time. Wednesday night inspiration Bible study, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before you again on this Wednesday night, hoping that each and every one of you had a great week and that God met your needs. So on tonight, it's going to be like all of our Wednesday nights, and I say ours because I always let you know that this is not Diane Bible study, but it's our Bible study. Always, I have to give God the glory, honor, and the praise for allowing us this opportunity to meet on Wednesday to go over the Word of God with one another. Oh, this is a fellowship. Let us all come to the table with praying hands and sincere hearts. I shall also would like to thank each and every one of you that take time out of your busy schedules week after week to come and hear what God has to say for his people. As always, there's many people that is calling into the studio right now because the board is lighting up, and I say thank you. And to all of my internet listeners who may be listening via the internet, at the end of each broadcast, not the end of the broadcast, but when the lesson has gone forth, everyone have an opportunity to call in and participate, either with words of encouragement, They may want to offer or ask for prayer. So at the end of the lesson, if you would like to make a comment or say a concern or add to the lesson, anything that God maybe have laid on your heart, all you have to do, those who are on the telephone, press the one button on your phone. You will come into the studio, and I will see, and I will open the mic and let you address our Bible study family. And for those who are listening by internet, the number that's on the screen, you have to call into that number. And when you get that number, you press the one button on your phone, and I'll be able to open the airways for you as well. And that's what we're going to do on tonight. For those of you who have your Bible, I want you to know that the lesson is coming from the book of Luke. It's going to be the 14th chapter, verses 28 through 32. And the title of this lesson is, We Must Learn How to Count the Cost, Not Just for Some Things, but in All Things. And I'm going to give you that again. The lesson is coming from Luke, the 14th, the 28th verse through the 32nd verse. And for those who have your Bibles and those who don't have your Bible, I encourage you to get a Bible so you could follow through us. You could follow along with us through the Word of God. Because you know the Bible teaches us that we should study to show ourselves approved, not depending on just what we hear from someone else. So if you have your Bible, it's a good thing, and you could go back and you could look at it. And as I always say, you know, you could read a chapter up and a chapter down, not just the four or five verses, so you could get a clear understanding for yourself what God is saying to his people. So that's going to be the lesson at this time. I would like to know if anyone would like to pray. You could press the one button on your phone and you could open us up with prayer. If not, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Once I get through praying, going to the throne of grace in all of our behalf, once I do that, I'm going to play a song. And the song is, You Don't Know My Struggles. You Don't Know My Pain. So at this time, let us go before God in prayer. And I pray that each and every one of you that comes in on Wednesday, and before you get here on Wednesday, that you pray for Wednesday night Bible study. And as we do in the program, that you be prayerful in listening and prayerful in thinking and prayerful in receiving. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, play the song, and then we're going to go into the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again. Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace because there's no other way we can go. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you look down upon everyone that's listening, everyone that's viewing, dear God, and give them the desires of their heart. Heavenly Father, I pray that the word go forth, be used in a mighty way in their lives. Heavenly Father, I realize that I can only give information, but the Holy Ghost can give them revelation and clarification. Lord, press it in their hearts for them to ask, because you say whatever a person asks for, that you will grant it. Teach us, dear God, how to pray, and then we know that it will be all right. Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon every family represented here, and you bless them in the blessings that they need of. Heavenly Father, we have some prayer requests. We want to ask that you bless the family, the Buggage family, Daryl Buggage, mother. Miss Joyce died on this week, dear God, but give the family comfort, dear God, and let them know that you are in control, and as a son, that you could be a mother to the motherless, but that they got to just hold on to your unchanging hand. And dear Lord God, Miss Denise Herbert went in the hospital last night. I'm asking that you be the doctor in the sick room, dear God, and that you touch everybody that's going to come and have to do anything with her. Not only that, dear God, that you let her not suffer, and dear God, let them find out the cause, dear God, and be able to take care of it. We know all of this is not our will, but in your will, dear God, we ask. This is only our petition. And God, we're going to be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, because you're worthy. You're worthy of all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Dear Holy Ghost, I decrease as you increase. Have your way with this lesson tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, and thank God. And at this time, I'm going to play the song, and then we'll get straight into the lesson.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from.
Deliverance. my testimony.
And that was a record saying, "You don't know my story." You know, we go through life and go through the day. Sometimes we have many ups and downs, and people around us, people we surround ourselves don't have a clue what's really going on. But we can count on God because he's faithful. And as I start with the lesson tonight, for those who just called in, and I want to let you know, if you don't call in exactly at 8:30, it's okay. You could call in whenever you remember to call in. You could still get through all the way until the program is over. But the lesson tonight is coming from Luke, the 14th chapter, 28 through the 32nd verse. And the topic for the lesson is, we must learn how to count the cost, not just for some things, but for all things. I'm going to give you the background tonight on Luke, since we're coming out of the book of Luke. And, you know, they say that the men in the Bible who were called to be a part of the inner circle that surrounded Jesus when he walked the earth was a very diverse group of men that hailed from all kind of backgrounds and occupations. Now, you see, even when Jesus walked the earth and he decided to get his inner circle and pick the 12 disciples, they came from all kind of backgrounds and they had all kind of occupations. You know, sometime in our lives, God is bringing us to where he wants us to be, and people can't understand why you, but why not you? And then people would always try to say what you're not, but God said he know what you is. You see, the 12 men, other than the traitor Judas, we know Judas, formed the foundation of what is called today the church. One of the men who is not listed as an apostle, but had a tremendous effect upon the documentation and spreading the gospel, was a physician named Luke. I know many times people are asked, you just believe that at least the four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that they were all disciples, but they weren't. Luke was not a disciple. He was a physician. You see, he was evidently devoted to science because he's a doctor and research. Research before he came to know the Savior. You see, there's no evidence that Luke ever personally met the man Jesus as he walked the earth. Luke didn't have an opportunity to meet him, and evidently he wasn't following, and you're going to find out why maybe he wasn't following him in the beginning before he was, you know, his ministry, why he wasn't in his ministry, and then, you know, why he wasn't following him. You see, Luke was not of circumcision. And back then when they would say you're of circumcision or not circumcision, which mean that he was a Gentile. And you know, back then the Israelites had the promise from God and they was the followers of Christ and they had the temples and they studied the word, but the Gentiles was not yet engrafted in. And Luke was a Gentile. I want you to know that Luke was the only writer of the New Testament that was not an Israelite or a Jew. Not only did Luke write the gospel that bears his name, which is the gospel according to Luke, but he also had the privilege, and he was inspired by God to write the book of Acts. God chooses who he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for what he wants. Luke's writing focused on the preaching of the good news, which indicate his joy over the plan of salvation. From the life of Luke, it is clear that no matter what course we set ourselves out in life to accomplish, when God has other plans, he changed our direction. You see, with all of his education, Luke was a man that had an open mind. And we have to keep an open mind as we live and be in this earth. Luke probably had social status in his community as a physician. But when confronted with the truth, he not only recognized it, but he realized that nothing was more important than pursuing it, no matter what the consequences. And Luke counted the cost to follow Christ. Luke recognized that Jesus is the truth. And upon recognizing that and began to spread the gospel, his life was changed forever. That's a little background on Luke, and we're going to go into scriptures. Luke 14 chapter. Right now, we're going to go up to, because we're going to go to the 25th. I think this is important, and I'm not going to leave it out. But go to the 25th verse. And the 26th verse said, "And there were a great multitude with him. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, ye, and even his own life, cannot be my disciples." A lot of people, especially if someone trying to say the Bible contradicts itself, have a problem where Jesus use this word hate so many times for so many relationships that we would think it that's important in our lives. But you see, Jesus was teaching, and he was laying out the terms of discipleship. There was a great crowd following him. Everyone loved the miracles, the healing, the free food. You see, at that particular time, Jesus was cool. He was the talk of the town, and he was the latest fad. But Jesus knew their hearts. He knew they desired the benefits of what he did rather than an understanding of who he was. You see, God always look at the heart. You could say anything with your hands. You could wave your hands and lift them up. You could say anything with that tongue. You know, but God looked straight at the heart, and God knew their heart. They wasn't coming and showing up for the right reason. We have to ask ourselves, what are we showing up for, and what are we bringing to the table when we show up? You see, they loved his gifts, not the life he was calling them to. But you know what? That's what was happening then. But today we see so much of that. People are always looking for something from Jesus and not truly concerned about knowing him. They treat him as if he is somewhere just sitting down waiting to fulfill their needs, their wants, and their desires. You know, I often tell people, you know, God is not a trick. God is not sitting down waiting for you to pick him up and put him down when you get ready and then want him to do all that you want him to do. You see, some people only call on his name when they can't see their way through. Y'all know that's true, because even the actors and the movie stars and everything and the people you just know in your life, you know, you never saw them go to church, you never saw them read the Bible, but some adversity, trials, or tribulation come in their life and you holler, him, holler Jesus. You see, all some people care about is what Jesus can do for them and never ask themselves, what can I do for Jesus? Or even examine themselves to see what they have done for him lately. They are only concerned with the things of God that can give them what they want. That's it. No more. Do I need to go to church? Nah, that's not important. I need to tithe? Mm-mm-mm. I need to help the sick? Mm-mm. That ain't necessary. See, God loves me. You see, people are selfish. Well, they're foolish, too. Some people are selfish and they're foolish, and they want what they want when they want it. And they don't care about how they get it. People want what they want. Little children, big children, old people. Everybody's on the mode of just trying to achieve what they want. They hear the truth and allow it to go in one ear and let it stream out the other. They don't study. They seldom pray. No worship with believers. They live a life that is pleasing to them, doing whatever seems right in their own eyes. And they have the gall to say to God that God loves me. And again, as I said earlier, it just don't take all of that. You see, we are stewards, and everything belongs to God, our talents, our time. And I've thought about this the other night, even our life experiences belong to God to be used for his will and his glory. Okay, Sister Diane, what you saying there? What I'm saying that, you know, we all have different experiences in life. And our experiences is part of what got us to maturity, hopefully, and is what got us to be, in most cases, who we really are. And so, you know, with somebody having the same experiences, and because you have them, you don't have to just have sympathy. You could have empathy because you done traveled that road. So God uses the experiences in your life that you may have counted it for your bad. God is turning it around for the good of others. So when I say God wants your time, your talent, your resources, and even your life experience to be used for his will and to give him glory, I'm here to give you a fact in life. And this is one you could take with you to your grave, and it will not let you go wrong. You are not afforded the privilege to make it up as you go. Doing it any kind of way and expect God to be pleased. You see, our life is a gift from God, and what we do with it is a gift to God. So in this lesson, the one we read when Jesus talked about hating mother, hating father, hating sister, hating brother, don't take that literally. You see, Jesus was explaining that what it takes to be one of his followers. See, Jesus just didn't water it down. He went straight to the source. He told them the real deal. Jesus said these things about hating your mother and your father, it's a metaphor. And he used it to get them thinking. You know, when we look at a metaphor is when you say something that shouldn't be really taken literal and can be used as a comparison. I'll give you one so you can maybe understand better. You know how we say so-and-so is the black sheep of the family? That's a metaphor. Because so-and-so, if they're a man or a woman or a boy and a girl, you know they're not a sheep. You see, but a black sheep at the time when sheep was popular and they had herds and shepherds and all of that, if they had a black sheep in a herd, the black sheep usually strayed away. So that's where that come from. And when people say he or she is a black sheep, and they usually say it a family, you're not literally saying they're a black sheep. So here when we hear Jesus say you must hate your mother, hate your father, hate your sister, hate your brother, he's not saying that he wants you to hate anybody, but he's letting you know you got to love me above all of these things. And you got to put me first. So that's what Jesus meant when he used that. You know, God is a God of love. God represents love, and he loves us. So when he say that, you know, don't take it literally, because some people will come to you and say the Bible contradicts itself because Jesus say he love everybody, and he telling you to hate. Don't take that literally. He didn't mean it literally. He's saying, you know, you should put me first. And if it takes hating your mother or your father, and how could you say if it takes that? You know, there's some places and there's some things and there's some people where people are being hated for their religion. In a Muslim family, away, if a child began to love the Lord and the family is against it because they're Jews and they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, these people are being martyred and killed daily. You can look it up. It is real. So they were saying if you decided to follow Christ, follow Christ, and if your parents don't want it, oh, well, let them be. So take what Jesus is saying, and don't take what he, you know, a statement like that literally, but understand literally that you got to put him first above your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, and so on. And the 27th verse said, and whosoever do not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You see, here Jesus is teaching and trying to get the crowd to understand. So he uses another metaphor, using a cross. You see, the audience that Jesus was talking to, they were well aware of what it meant to carry your own cross. You know, Jesus carried the cross on Calvary. That wasn't nothing new. That was a form of punishment in a way they executed their criminals. So when anybody was going to be crucified, they had to carry the cross to the place where the cross would end up. So, you know, it was a tedious thing to carry the cross. They were heavy. We've seen the Passion of Christ. So Christ said, whoever do not bear his cross. We all have a cross, is what Jesus is saying here. When somebody was being executed, he had to carry his cross. When we decide to follow Christ, there will be a cross for us to carry. We are all responsible to fight the good fight of faith and be willing at any cost to stand up for what is right, no matter the cost, even unto death. I have to ask you this. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? and all the world go free? You know, the psalmist who wrote this song say, no, there is a cross for everyone, and there is a cross for me. Just because you decided to follow Christ, I want to let you know right now, your life will not be a bed of roses all the time, but God is sufficient. Grace is sufficient. Jesus paid the price. All to him you owe. Take that, and it ain't going to be a bed of roses. You see, life will not always deal you the hand that you would like, but you know you have to play the cards that you're dealt. When you handle God's business, he will take care of yours. I'm a witness to that. And if you haven't tried him, try him. Try him for yourself. And then we're going to look at the 28th verse. It says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, set it down first and counted the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish? And this is why the Bible is so important. For those who have their Bible, the next verse said, less, and then they have the word H-A-P, not H-A-P-P-L-Y, but it's H-A-P-L-Y. So they say, less happily, after he has laid the foundation, he is not able to finish. And all that behold and seen it began to mock him, saying, in the 30th verse, this man began to build and was not able to finish. That's what Jesus used in his teaching. If you're in the Bible and you're in Luke, it's in red writing, you know, Jesus, the multitude was following him, and Jesus is using this opportunity to teach, and he read them, he quoted those scriptures. You see, Jesus is now using a metaphor of things in our lives that we won't go to God first and evaluate the situation on our own, and we don't take time to count the cost. And we sure don't begin with the end in mind and some of the things that we do. And then it turns out we are unable to handle the situation. Do I have any amens in the house? Jesus is showing us the explanation to his difficult statement. We must count the cost of discipleship. As disciples, we must, in all things, with prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, make our request known to God. But you see, when that scripture, in that 29th scripture, when they said that word happily, I just want you to know that it means by accident, luck, or chance. Now, when you read the word of God, you have to use the word, understand what the word means to get the full meaning of what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, less happily, H-A-P-L-E-Y, after he had laid the foundation. And then I looked up the word happily, and it says that's something that happens by accident, luck, or change. How many people you know live their life not going to God, not accepting God, but, you know, they just hope that everything gonna be all right. They hope luck is on their side. They even hope that it's by accident they can make it, or either by chance. But that God, Jesus is saying that's what happened. That's the kind of attitude a person have when they don't count the cost. You see, often the cost of doing things is not evaluated in the decision making of our lives. Most people are usually only concerned about what they want. Y'all know the people like that? So many people are only concerned about what they want. And then they wait happily that it may be okay, or by accident, luck, or chance that, you know, they're going to make it. But the strange thing is when luck, chance, or accident don't come their way, they want what they want, and they don't care if they have to get it from you. You see, we go to God about some things, and before he answers, we do it our way. We don't count the cause. Or after counting the cause, sometime it don't add up. But guess what? We do it anyway. Things in life, like maybe buying a car, you know, and you know, the people don't realize they, you know, giving cars away at these car dealerships these days. And people go and they, you know, they get it. You know, they didn't ask God. They, you know, they don't have God on their side. They get it and they can't afford it, and then they can't keep it. But you have to count the cars, and that's just an example. But in all things, the things you get ready to do, good, bad, or ugly, you have to count the cause and think about the consequences for your action, and think about not just you, but everybody else it may affect. You see, every action causes a reaction. The word of the God is our guide, and we must use it to evaluate our lifestyles, our habits, and how we live in this world. You know, Jesus been told us we got to be in this world, but not of this world. Are you separated? They say Christians are peculiar people. Can anyone see your light so shine? Can anyone see Jesus in you? We should evaluate and count the cause of whether good and evil, and see what they all are producing, and see what our decision was made, what our decision to do what we do and what effect it would have. Not only on ourselves, but on others. You know something? If Adam and Eve would have counted the cost and realized the effect their decision would have on this world, they wouldn't have eaten. I hope you agree with me. Adam and Eve changed the way we live life history. They changed all that God had put before them with that one thing. And it affects the lives of all the people, because we born with sin nature because of what they did. And Jesus had to die because of what they did. So you got to count the cause and wonder the things you do, how it's going to affect not just yourself and others. You see, if Moses would have counted the cause and not let others cause him to go against the word of God, Moses would have made it to the promised land. Come on now. If Judas would have counted the cause and understand his greed was not taking him anywhere, he would have been able to live. Y'all know Judas hung himself after he wanted them 30 pieces of silver, greed. And then after he did it, he realized, but you see, he was ready to count the cost on the end. And as I told you earlier, you got to count the cost in the beginning. And when you count the cost, begin with the end in mind. Count the cost, because the consequence of your action many times won't just affect you. Would it be good if would it be good? Come on now. I'm talking to those who may be out of town or living in other cities. I'm speaking to you tonight from New Orleans, Louisiana. And I'm sure everyone have heard, you know, that our streets is almost like a killing field. Our youth, you know, have no direction and they have no plan. And plenty of them might know of Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. See, they're not counting the cost but allow Jesus to work effectively in their lives. But wouldn't it be good if our young men on the street would count the cost first? When they would get out and decide for whatever reason to take someone's life, that they'll stop, count the cost, and think about how it's not only going to affect the person they killed, but even them who killed the person. Then you got the parents of the child that's being killed, and then you got the parents of the child that's going to jail, and, you know, and if the child that got killed had children, their children is without a father, and maybe the boy who shot and killed the boy have children, their children without father, the mother's heart is broken, you know, come on now, they might have a wife, she's devastated, but just imagine every time before they get ready to pull a trigger, if they would just count the cost of what they're fixing to do, I think our city would be better. You see, And we have to count the cause when things is happening in our lives. You know, when we have, now watch this, I didn't say if you have, but when you have persecution, trials, tribulation, or consequences for your actions, I'm telling you that you have to just take your licking and keep on ticking. And if you have Jesus, you'll be able to handle it. And if you count the cause on the front end, you will always be in a better position. And you know, plenty of times for the things that we do in our lives, the Bible tells us to consider our ways. Sometimes if you look at your life and see where you're at, you wonder how you get there, and the Bible says, consider your ways. Sometimes when you're not getting what you think you should get, the Bible might be saying, consider your ways, because you could only give what you're willing to get. You can only get what you're willing to give. Come on now. If you look at your life, you know, and you're not satisfied with where you're at, the Bible is saying, consider your ways. Because, you know, to be approved, you got to study. Come on now. The Bible say, consider your ways. Evaluate all your situation. Evaluate where you are in life. Evaluate what you want to do with your family. Evaluate how you teach your children. And I could say, you know, we didn't, you know, when my children was young, my children grown now, I didn't do a very good job. But oh, glory be to God, I'm going to do everything I can with my grandson. But, you know, we didn't do as well. I'm going to say we, because some of you may have, and I'm sure some of you did, but I'm talking about me right now. I didn't do a job that I could have done, but I thank God for where I'm at right now. You know, children, raising children didn't come with instructions. But glory be to God, because I know more now. I can show more now. And that's what we have to do. You see, and after that, we're going to look at the 31st, 2nd, and 31st and 32nd verse. And we're going to come to a close in a little bit. But the 31st verse said, oh, what king going to make war against another king? Sit it not down first and consult it. Come on now. Rather, he would be able with 10,000 to meet him that coming against him who had 20,000. What the king saying? You know, they're fixing to go in the war. He know he got 10,000 men. But the people he fixing to go fight got 20,000. And he said he's going to counsel. He's going to think about this, right? And they say in the 32nd verse, say, or else while the other is yet a great way off, they coming to meet up for war. So they ain't got there yet. They fall off. He say he going to get his ambassador and decide and desire a condition of peace. So he see them fall off, and he's going to send his ambassador over there to talk to the people coming to war with him, and he's going to try to get them to do a peace treaty. You know, that's what the scripture says. That's what Jesus used, and he used it, as I said earlier, as a metaphor. You see, counting the cause here, that we should always use common sense in our decision making. Know your limitation. And always remember that everything is not for everybody. You got to follow the will and the plan of God for you, because that is where your success lies. You see, you got to be willing, able, and ready to follow Christ at all costs. You see, this king, as he counted the cost, he realized that all battles are not for him to fight. You see, he realized if he'd go against some people with that 20,000, it would be a possibility they wouldn't make it. And if that 20,000 people subdued all of his men, what would he have left? He counted the cost. He sent someone over and said, let's see if we could get some peace here. How many times in our lives we need to count the cost and realize that in life we must learn to pick our battles, because all battles will not be won, and all battles are not worth the fight. The Word of God lets us know that many of our battles in the first place, they're not really ours, but they belong to God. And I'm going to close with this tonight. And I pray that you understand where I'm coming from. If Satan would have counted the cost, he would still be an angel. If he'd have took time and evaluated and counted the cost, he was there with God. He was seeing his glory. He'd seen what God did with the creation, and he saw the splendor of in heaven. If he just looked and evaluated with what he could see, not even by faith, what he could see, he would have realized that he would never have the victory over life and death. And if Satan had counted the cost, he would be in glory with his maker. And when I say his maker, yeah, God created Satan. But you see, by not counting the cause and want to do it your way, you know, he didn't want to count the cause of discipleship. He wanted what he wanted, why he wanted it, and how he wanted it. Selfish. He didn't count the cause. He didn't evaluate. And because of that, well, y'all know the story. And the rest is history. And I'm going to show you how some things happen. Satan is still trying to fight a battle and win when all evidence points that he can't. And that's how we do it with some things in our lives that shouldn't be there. And the battles that we taking up in our lives is some we can't win. Some we got to lose, and yet we hold on. But remember, if Satan would have counted the cost and realized that that battle he's bucking up against, he couldn't win, he would still be an angel. And I just want you to know that we must learn, as I close, how to count the cost of everything and anything, and not just some things, with everything that we do in a simple task of our lives. You got the money to pay your bill, pay your bill. You don't need to buy that dress because it could put you in a bad position. Don't buy the dress. You know, there's a scripture, when you don't count the cause and you go to God, he said you'll be working and you'll be laboring. And the money that you make, it would be just like you're putting it in a bag with a hole in it. That's in the book of Haggai. I read that and I was like, wow. And it reads like that, like you're putting your money in a bag with a hole in it. You know, you're going to be doing things and you're not going to prosper. Jesus explained in this metaphor that he used in Luke the 14th chapter, that you count the cost of discipleship and you evaluate that I'm going to follow Christ. What do this mean? It means sometimes you can't do what you want to do. It means sometimes you can't go where you want to go, because you have decided to Christ, to follow Christ. And I just tell you tonight, count the cost and do everything in Jesus' name. And that's our lesson for tonight. And as always, when we finish the lesson, I'll be wanting to know if anybody would like to make any comments, anybody would have any concern. You know, the Word of God has gone forth, and I would think that some people would have an opinion or a comment about what Jesus just told us. You know, they say faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I don't think people realize when they talk about the goodness of Jesus and all that he done for them. When you speak with your mouth, you hear yourself. And you are edifying yourself with your words. So, you know, the more you share the word of God, the more you hear the word of God. And it's just good all the way around. You know, somebody may have some things they would like to add to the lesson. Or there may be some things that they feel should be taken out. It doesn't matter. This is our Bible study. And we are all here together. So I see that no lights are being lit. So I would assume that everybody's okay and there's nothing that no one would like to say. So at this time, I have a caller that called in. Hold on. I'm going to open the mic. 985-224. Your mic is open and you can speak at this time.
Good evening, Miss Di.
Good evening, Miss Di.
I just want to say you have a way, a word you always say to us, that when God's word go forward, you pray that it not return void. I just want to tell you that his word is not returning void. I'm so thankful tonight that you explained verse 26 to us. I think it's verse 26. I was reading along with you as you went along. But it was the one about hating your mother and your father, your children. Because as you said, sometimes it seems as if the Bible is contradicting itself. So I'm just here to say thank you for that tonight. Thank you for explaining, breaking it down to us. And I just encourage you to keep letting God use you and thank God for you.
Well, I just want to say thank you, Ms. Joyce Brown, calling all the way from La Place, Louisiana. I really love you, Ms. Joyce, and I thank you for calling in and sharing that. Thank you so much. If there's anyone else who'd like to say anything, you could press the one button on your phone. If not, I'm going to go ahead and do a prayer. And after doing the prayer, we're gonna. I'll just play some music right now. Oh, I got another caller to open a line. This caller, who number is 908. 12, your mic is open at this time.
Hi, this is Diane. I am just so thankful for listening to this lesson tonight, because when you say counter cause, that is so true. And it just brings back to me that it's confirmation for me, because last year, at the end of the year, I didn't counter cause. I just did it. And in the end, right now, I'm kind of like regretting what I did. So now I know that from now on, before I make any decisions, I put God first, and then I count the cost to make sure, is this right for me or is this wrong for me? Is it going to benefit me or is it going to hurt me or anybody that's involved around me? So thank you so much for that lesson tonight.
Oh, thank you so much, Sister Rosemary. And while you're on the phone, Sister Rosemary just had a knee replacement, and through the grace of God, you know, I've been very prayerful with her, but God is delivering her. You know, she was able to come over to my house today and sit a while. She propped her knee up on the chair, and we had a good time in the Lord, and I thank God for her. But I'm going to take this time right now, since you're on the phone and your line is open, to lift you up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, we enter your courts with thanksgiving, and we enter in your gates with praise. Heavenly Father, we come into you to say thank you. Thank you for bringing Sister Rosemary through her surgery. Thank you, dear God, for allowing her to walk right now. Heavenly Father, we believe with a spirit of excellency and a spirit of expectancy that she's going to be much better than she was before. Heavenly Father, we know it's not our will, but Lord, you say it in your word that you our healer. Heavenly Father, heal her leg and let her come back better than she was, dear God, and let her continue with her life, dear God, and I know she have a desire to go back to work. Let the healing process speed up in the mighty name of Jesus, and everything will be all right. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. She's your child, dear God, and you say you would answer the prayers for your children and in behalf of your children. Touch her, dear God. Touch her finances, dear God, because she's not able to go to work. And I'm asking, dear God, that you be with her and you comfort her in her time of rest. In Jesus' name, amen and thank God. So all the listeners, you know, you guys, I ask you all to pray. We had Daryl Buggett's mother that died that I prayed earlier for. We have Miss Denise Herbert that went in the hospital alone last night. And now you got Sister Rosemary Coleman. And I'm asking that you just pray for her with this week going up. We meet every Wednesday. We are a family. See, the body of Christ got to start thinking about one another as a family. That's why you say you're brothers and sisters in Christ, because it's family. So these names that we brought to the throne of grace and the petitions that we made, you know, I need each and every one of us to be prayerful for one another. And, you know, when you pray, you say, God, I don't know what's going to be going on in my sister, my brother lives, but, Lord, just be with them and pray for me, your host, as I pray for you. And you see, when people start calling in and they start talking, you start remembering, oh, that's Sister Rosemary. That's Sister Joyce Brown from La Place. And you could call up and say, hey, Sister Joyce, hey, all of my brothers and sisters. You know, use what God has given us. But that's our prayer. I'm going to do a benediction, and I'm going to go into the music because it's 9:27. Everybody who want to stay on the line, you welcome, because it's going to be some good word going to be administered through song for the records that is being played. But it's 9:27. I try never to hold you over an hour. And right now at this time, I'm going to do the benediction, and then I'm going to play some music on. While the music is playing, if someone decides they want to talk, you just have to press the one button on your phone. I will stop the music. I will open the mic, and you could talk or bring, you know, whatever. So right now, I just want to say God be with us until we meet again. God watch over us until we meet again. God allow us traveling grace until we meet again. God allow our needs to be met until we meet again. God teach us how to count the cost every day in our lives, and especially till we meet again. Heavenly Father, these blessings and others I ask in Jesus' name. I want each and every one of you to know that God loves you, and so do I. I want to thank you for keep calling in. You know, my lights in the studio is just buzzing. All of the people are calling, and I know some is on Facebook, and I know some is listening on an iPod, a pad, or however it go. And I say, God, thank you. You know, and sometimes I have to ask myself, why you? And God always come back, why not you? So here am I. And I come to his throne, and I come with clean hands and clean hearts, and I bring everything that I have. I'm not perfect. I'm not all that in a bag of chips, but I bring everything I got to the table, and that's what God expects all of us to do, and that's what we should do. So right now, it is 9:29, and I'm going to play y'all some music. And if you, like I say, you can still press the one button. And I just want to say thank you if you, you know, be done hung up. But God loves you, and so do I.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great, and he's greatly to be praised. Song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley.
hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say, come on, if you know it's awesome, say, come on and lift your voice. Forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice.
Celebrate the arms of God. Oh.